Hello, this is Wendy Bauer reading to you today from the Decatur Herald and Review. It's March 20th, 2017, and we'll begin on the front page. Headline, Faber Stirs Election Dispute. Faber Endorsements of Phillips Divides Decatur Council. Councilman Bill Faber is encouraging a change in Decatur's leadership while criticizing the current mayor and city manager. Faber wrote in a paid column printed in the March 8th Decatur Tribune weekly newspaper that three things are needed to bring change to Decatur: a new plan, a new direction, and a new city manager. Faber said if residents want to give change a chance, then they should vote for local businessman John Phillips, who is challenging Julie Moore Wolfe for mayor. John Phillips possesses exceptional financial and business skills that will make him an effective mayor, Faber said. He will stand up to the city manager. Faber said conventional wisdom and the status quo are failing working families. The working men and women in our town are sick and tired of politics as usual, Faber said. The people hold a profound distrust of political and business leaders. The people want real change and real jobs. Moore Wolfe said Faber had discussed his opinion during a meeting with her, but she said such endorsements from city council members usually aren't made during the course of a campaign. Moore Wolfe defended the job performance of city manager Tim Gleason, who is the subject of a lawsuit involving the firing of former Decatur police chief Brad Sweeney. The city manager is not running for office, Moore Wolfe said. He's not here to be popular. He gives us the options to make the best decision possible. Moore Wolfe said Gleason was the best candidate for the city manager job when he was hired in March 2015, and she stands by that decision. She said Faber, who was elected to the council later in 2015, was not part of the selection process. Phillips said Faber brings different ideas to discussions during council meetings. Phillips said Faber's comments usually seem to be dismissed, but he would welcome different perspectives as mayor. They're basically written off with no opportunity to explore which ideas may be any good, Phillips said. I'd be everybody's second. Phillips said he would not fire the city manager. I don't have that power, Phillips said. It takes four votes. The answer is not, you're fired. If elected, Phillips would seek to work with Gleason as well as possible. He said Gleason has not been coached or guided in his position, something Phillips would seek to do. The city has addressed financial challenges and moved forward on infrastructure projects to improve the city, Gleason said about his time as city manager. Gleason said the city is headed in the right direction, which he said it can continue to do. I'm proud of the efforts from staff as we've laid in front of council solutions, Gleason said. We're well on our way. We're in a major infrastructure chapter, and it's a big deal. The city needs such as road construction, sewer repairs, and dredging of Lake Decatur are being accomplished, Gleason said. We're addressing those challenges, Gleason said. In addition, Gleason said a much-needed neighborhood redevelopment plan is in the final stages of creation. He plans to meet with the newly elected members of the council for an orientation after the election, to which the current members will be invited as well. That will be used to help develop priorities moving forward and bring everybody up to speed, Gleason said. Faber's endorsement of Phillips drew a sharp reaction from Councilman Jerry Dawson on his Facebook page, where he offered his support to Moore Wolfe. I am very impressed with the way she conducts herself in private meetings with other professionals in our area, Dawson said. Her product is Decatur, and she works very hard selling her product. I sincerely hope that all Decatur residents vote for our current mayor because the alternative is scary and dangerous. Dawson is not seeking re-election, nor is Chris Funk, who was appointed to the council in September 2015. Dawson is supportive of Gleason's job performance. I have sat in on numerous meetings with our mayor and city manager, and I can assure you that Tim Gleason answers to the mayor and council, Dawson said. The city manager has a vision for our community that is positive. He is also straightforward and honest and works very hard trying to do the right thing for our city. He lays out the facts and let the council decide what is best for Decatur. Councilman Pat McDaniel is up for re-election in a race against Chris Riley, Chuck Kuhl, David Horn, Marty Watkins, and Andrew Apel, with three seats open. Council members Lisa Gregory and Dana Ray, who will both remain on the council, have been supportive of the current mayor and city manager. Absolutely no, Decatur does not need a new city manager, Gregory said. I have been appalled at some of the accusations that have been lobbed at Mr. Gleason over the course of the last year. They are blatantly wrong. Gregory said those who have been critical of Gleason don't have all the facts. While it is true that a mayor is only one vote on the council, it is important for voters to remember it is the mayor that provides the single voice of direction to the city manager, Gregory said. Who do they want that voice to be? Someone endorsed by Mr. Faber? Ray said Gleason has followed the direction of the city council and not done anything she deemed inappropriate. Ray said Moore Wolf has done an excellent job and can continue to do so. Next, Allison Petty writes, after inconsistent winter, Decatur celebrates first day of spring. From Decatur, today marks the official start of spring, an occasion awaited eagerly by sufferers of cabin fever, and this year, those who wish the weather would make up its mind already. The first day of the season is determined by the vernal equinox, when the Earth's axis is tilted neither toward or away from the sun, according to the National Weather Service. This year, it seemed like Mother Nature jumped the gun. A series of unusually warm days in February got everyone out of the house earlier, only to send them scuttling back in when the temperatures dropped and several inches of snow fell last week. The inconsistency has been hard on spring flowers and fruit trees that were progressing ahead of schedule when freezing temperatures set in last week. We've got a lot of plants in the greenhouse right now. It's not affecting them at all, but the outside stuff is hurting, said Josh McGrath, horticulture superintendent for the Decatur Park District. There's not really anything we can do about it. This is a good time of year to clean up perennials, cut back grasses, and trim dead limbs, McGrath said. While some garden centers are selling trees and shrubs now, he doesn't recommend planting them for about another month. Just because it's there to buy doesn't mean you should buy it, he said. Anyone whose tulips and daffodils were damaged by the cold can still get a taste of spring at the Schaub Floral Display Center, where McGrath and the Park District's horticultural staff have arranged a vibrant seasonal showcase. The district's first spring plant sale is April 28th and 29th. The tease of spring-like temperatures last month had a different effect on Kyle May, owner of Spin City Cycles and Fleet Feet Sports. I rode in shorts in February, he said. I had to shave my legs way earlier than I normally do. Customer traffic spikes when the weather warms up, he said, and no amount of specials or advertising will bring people in when the weather doesn't cooperate. It was playing along well enough Saturday that Sean Trike finally got to have soccer practice. The 16-year-old, who plays for Mid-State Soccer Club, said two practices earlier in the week were canceled because of snow and muddy ground left behind after it melted. Sean and his siblings, Hay 13 and Derek 10, also spent part of Saturday afternoon picking out new bikes at Spin City, accompanied by Father David Trike. Flowers blooming, birds chirping, it is a good time of year, It brings people out to do things, Trike said. Everybody's been cooped up for the last 3 months, so it is a well-awaited day. Athletes and outdoor lovers aren't the only beneficiaries of sunnier skies. University Dogs, part owner and manager Michael Kerfoot, said the flow of customers picks up in the spring and summer when it's warmer and people are out and about. Personally, Kerfoot likes snow, but winter didn't offer much of it this year, so he's eager for a change. I'm ready for it to be 70 so I can go golfing or something, be outside and do something and enjoy the weather instead of bundling up in the cold. Spring-like weather is in store this week, with most days having highs in the 50s and 60s, as well as a chance of showers. Today's forecast calls for a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high near 63 degrees. And a sidebar shows on this day in 1906, it was 6 degrees and there were 20 inches of snow on the ground. In 1921, the high temperature was 83 degrees. In 1924, there were 4 inches of snow on the ground. And photographs accompanying this article show grower Sean Grimo hanging baskets to be sold during the spring sale at Schaub Floral Display Center. And there's also a photo of Horticultural Superintendent Josh McGrath carrying hanging baskets to a table while prepping for the upcoming spring sale at the Schaub Floral Display Center. And a beautiful photograph showing tulips and daffodils and hyacinth. The spring showcase featuring tulips, hyacinths, and daffodils is now on display at the Schaub Center. And also on the front page, some Trump voters face trouble from health plan. This is an AP article. Among the groups hardest hit by the Republican plan to replace the Affordable Care Act is one that swung for Donald Trump during last year's presidential race: older Americans who have not yet reached Medicare age. Many of those who buy their own health insurance stand to pay a lot more for their coverage. That is especially true for the nearly 3.4 million older Americans who have enrolled through the government marketplaces, many of whom receive generous federal subsidies through the health care law enacted under federal President Barack Obama. Healthcare experts predict those older adults will end up buying skimpier plans with lower coverage and higher deductibles because that's all they will be able to afford. The Republican plan replaces the subsidies in the Affordable Care Act, which mostly benefit low and middle income earners, with a flat tax credit that does not take into account income or local insurance prices. On top of that, the GOP plan allows insurers to charge older people 5 times what they charge younger customers, compared to 3 times under Obama's health care law. The Republican plan is still evolving, and many GOP lawmakers have said they want to see changes that reduce the impact on older consumers before they can support it. Based on the current plan, the Associated Press analysis of data from the Kaiser Family Foundation shows older consumers, defined as those 55 and older, would be disproportionately affected. They could lose thousands of dollars per year in government subsidies for health insurance. The AP analysis also found that on average, the counties with the strongest Trump support will see costs for older enrollees rise 50% more than the counties that had the least amount of support for Trump. A lot of people just won't be able to afford it. A lot of people are going to drop out of the market altogether, said Kaiser's Cynthia Cox. That includes older voters who helped put Trump into office. Take Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania, an economically struggling former coal mining center, where the New York billionaire won 70% of the vote in November. About 40% of Schuylkill County's Affordable Care Act enrollees are 55 or older, more than 10 points higher than the national average. A 60-year-old making $30,000 annually will pay roughly $8,750 more per year for coverage under the Republican plan moving through Congress, according to the AP analysis. When it comes to food or insurance, it's going to be an easy choice, said Matt Strauss, a health insurance broker in New Ringgold, some of whose customers voted for Trump. Older Americans on both ends of the political spectrum say they are worried about what the future holds. Here are some of their stories. Not warm fuzzy. Trump supporter and longtime Republican Robert Rusco, who runs a Florida liquidating business with his wife, said he is not feeling warm and fuzzy about the GOP health care plan. He went about 5 years without insurance because it was financially out of reach. When insurance became available through the Affordable Care Act, the couple was able to get a policy for about $350 per month, after a $700 monthly subsidy from the government. It's nice to be able to go to the doctor whenever something comes up. It gives you peace, especially when you get close to 60, said Rusco, 57, of West Palm Beach. He said he didn't hesitate to sign up through the Affordable Care Act, a program his party spent years vowing to dismantle. It doesn't matter who came up with it, it's a good thing to be supporting across party lines, he said. Worried about losing coverage, Rusco considered voting for a Democrat for the first time last November, but he ultimately placed his trust in Trump and the GOP. Obamacare is eventually going to have to be fiscally sound. Otherwise, it's not going to stay, Rusco said. I figured a replacement was coming anyway. He said he wants Trump to know that having access to insurance matters. That coverage made a big difference in a lot of people's lives, just like me, he said. Too costly. Anna Holloway of Norman, Oklahoma, who takes daily medication for an autoimmune disease, said she is fearful the GOP plan will price her out of the market for health insurance. I am conscious of just how desperate this is, said Holloway, 60, fighting back tears. I try not to let myself feel this way, but to live this way with real terror, real fear that the universe is going to fall apart around me. She takes home about $1,150 per month, working 4 part-time jobs. That's only $250 more than the monthly premium for a health care plan that includes Holloway and her 23-year-old daughter. Without the government subsidy that makes the policy affordable, she would have to drop it. The Kaiser analysis estimates a family plan in Norman under the current Republican proposal would cost as much as $20,000 more for someone in Holloway's income and age bracket. I'd go without health care, I would get sicker, and that would make it more difficult to work. I would eventually have to stop working, said Holloway, a registered Democrat who voted for Hillary Clinton. Holloway said she has contemplated the possibility of selling her home and moving in with a family member in Virginia. She acknowledges sometimes feeling hopeless when she considers how losing her health care would affect her life. I'm not suicidal, but there are times that I think of the damage that could be done to my daughter and her future if I have to eat up all my reserves and my house and all that I own, she said. Not affordable. The Affordable Care Act didn't work for Wendy Klein, a hairstylist in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who voted for Donald Trump. Klein tried buying a policy on the federal exchange, but found she made a little too much money to qualify for a government subsidy. So she was stuck paying the market rate. Her policy jumped this year from $630 to $929 a month. As a result, the 61-year-old isn't able to save much for retirement. I try to put as much away as I can, but my health insurance is $30 less than my mortgage payment, said Klein, who works 2 jobs. The GOP plan is a mixed bag for people such as Klein. It gives some higher income consumers the ability to get tax credits for coverage purchased off the exchange. But it also gives insurers the right to charge older customers like her more than they can under current law. Klein voted for Trump, hoping he would be able to work with Congress to make it affordable for everyone across the board. She said she still has hope, but is increasingly skeptical. "I'm so tired of the whole thing," she said. "When they talk, I turn the television down because it just drives me crazy." Staggering. Retired factory worker Bob Melton, 63, said the projected cost increases for older Americans means he and his wife Tammy, 58, would be unable to continue to afford coverage. They now pay $225 a month after the subsidies they receive through the Affordable Care Act. He was staggered by a projection that a couple's premiums could go up by nearly $17,000 under the GOP plan. "It'll put me and my wife out of insurance. There's just no way," he said. Melton saw a doctor for the first time in 12 years after he and his wife bought a policy through the Federal Health Insurance Exchange in 2014. After 3 appointments and blood tests ruled out more serious ailments, Melton said he learned the nagging pain he suffered in his hands was caused by arthritis. The Meltons live in Morgantown, North Carolina, 75 miles north of Charlotte, in a county that has seen an exodus of manufacturing jobs. Trump won more than 2/3 of the vote here. Bob Melton himself used to be a staunch Republican. Now he blames Republicans in North Carolina for what he views as efforts to obstruct the Affordable Care Act from working as intended by refusing to expand Medicaid coverage. "There's just no justification for it except for spite. That's just the way I feel about it," said Melton, who voted for Clinton. Although he's grateful for his federally subsidized plan, Melton's experience highlights the diminishing options that have plagued those trying to buy health insurance on the government exchanges established under the Obama reforms. Last year, Melton's coverage cost only about $37 after subsidies through Coventry Healthcare, a division of Aetna, Inc., but the company has since dropped exchange offerings in the state. His current insurer, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, is the only choice available, and his monthly premium is up nearly $200. And finally, from the front page, Kane on Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry's rock and roll impact huge. Elvis Presley, the Beatles, the Beach Boys. There are certain words we are never aware of learning. They are so much a part of our manner of communication that we know they have been with us forever. That's what Chuck Berry's works represent to rock and roll. If you know how to rock in any way, you owe your ability to experience that feeling to Chuck Berry. The St. Louis native, whose importance in the history of rock and roll music cannot be overestimated, died Saturday at age 90. He became the voice of young people with his songs about cars, schools, girls, and annoyance with adults. Musically, he radicalized guitar sound with his two-string technique, which made the instrument sound majestic. Jimi Hendrix, Buddy Holly, Bruce Springsteen. Berry's breakthrough came at the same time as the first true emerging youth market. Post-World War II children were the first to be able to combine disposable income with access to consumer goods designed just for them. Berry's songs struck solid notes with those teens. These, among the Berry teens who became popular musicians, played his music themselves, even admitting their efforts were the pale imitations of what they heard Berry doing. But even some of those artists moved forward the concept of music as an art form and as a voice for its audience. The Rolling Stones, the Sex Pistols, Linda Ronstadt, Emmylou Harris. Sometimes the greatest example of how an artist reaches you is just to look again. Barry has been part of my musical language forever. I even have a couple of original Chess singles from my 45s collecting days that started when the 45s were originally being released. But when I reviewed a list of tracks on one of the Barry box sets I own, I was astonished at both how many of the songs I could sing just after viewing the title and how many of the songs I'd forgotten originated with Barry. The guy wouldn't even have had to write dozens of amazing, memorable, and apparently eternal songs in order to have at least left a mark on entertainment. Seeing Chuck Berry duck walk, skipping across the stage and a half crouch while playing his guitar for the first time is as unforgettable as his music is forever familiar and omnipresent. This column has listed 10 musical acts for the ages: black, white, male, female, American, British. They all share one thing. A significant part of their recording careers include at least one Chuck Berry song, which feels about right. Slide over, Beethoven. There's one more in the room of great composers now. And the article is accompanied by a picture of two musicians smiling broadly as they play. Bruce Springsteen and Chuck Berry perform Johnny B. Goode to open the concert for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995. And from the events column, the Etc. listing, Health Professions Night, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Richland Community College, Indicator. Call 217-875-7200, extension 6304. Meet faculty, talk with current students, and learn about certificates and degrees. Come see, touch, and learn in our health professions lab and human simulators. You can also apply for admission, learn about scholarships and financial aid, and talk with an advisor. Call or visit the website to register. Macon County 4-H MoneyWise Club from 4 to 5:30 p.m. in the Decatur Public Library. Call 217-877-6042. Join University of Illinois Extension for fun, interactive discussions and activities just for teens to learn about personal finance, investing, and other money matters. This program is free and open to teens in grades 9 through 12. Music and Movement, 9:30 a.m. at the Mount Zion District Library. Open Play Pickleball from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Decatur Family YMCA. Drop in, it's $5. For the season, it's $45. Members are free. All skill levels and beginners are welcome. Volunteer training classes from 9 a.m. to noon at the Scoville Zoo in Decatur. Train and help with special events. Call 217-422-5911. And this has been our first half hour for March 20th, 2017, reading the Decatur Herald and Review. I will return with the second half hour shortly. Stay tuned. Thank you.